Myself, I didn't come to Christ until I was a young man. And I didn't understand. Pastor would say, turn to such and such a book, and I had no idea where it was. And so at times, I'm like, where's that book again? Where's that Minor Prophet? Habakkuk? Oh, let me find. But one thing that happened is God gave me a hunger for the Word of God. I couldn't get enough. Because I now had a saving relationship with the Jesus Christ, the Word who became flesh, saved me, and His Word was living inside of me. And I needed to be nourished upon God's Word. If you're here this morning, you've lost hunger and thirst for spending time in the Word of God. I want to say this as lovingly as possible, but also as directly as possible. You need to repent and seek God's forgiveness for whatever it is that has gotten you away from spending time daily in His Word and in prayer. You need to repent. Because without the Word of God, without His truth feeding you and nourishing you, there's only one way to go. It's the way of the flesh. Paul understood this. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness. Divine truth and godliness are related. You cannot be feasting on the Word of God, the inspired, engrafted Word implanted in your heart and growing, and not grow in godliness. The two are connected. They are related. Paul understood this. He understood that he needed to proclaim the gospel, to proclaim the whole Word of God, to proclaim God's truth, because it's God's truth that not only saves, but continues to sanctify a person progressively, and this is how they become more like Jesus Christ. If you are malnourished this morning, you need to ask yourself why. What is keeping me from feasting on God's Word? What is keeping me from spending time with Him daily? In hope, verse 2, of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. In hope of eternal life. Paul understood his mission of evangelism, of edification, but also of encouragement. Paul was a great encourager. And the best way he could encourage someone is to point him to the hope of eternal life. When his fellow co-workers in Christ were suffering as he was suffering, he was able to encourage them with the hope of eternal life. This morning, just in my Sunday school class, Jenny was sharing how a friend of hers, her ex-husband, just suddenly passed away, I believe 45 years old. Apparently a heart attack, and his life was taken from him. And the kids that he left behind. And the heartache that those who knew him and loved him are going through right now. And I was thinking, if I was able to ever minister to that family, what would I say to them? Well, the only really true words of comfort is the Scriptures. Because that's really the only hope I have to offer anyone. Specifically, the hope of eternal life. That this life is temporary. These bodies are decaying. And eventually, all of us will die. But in Jesus Christ, life never ends. This is the message that you and I have been entrusted with. This is the message that all of us have been given. This is the hope that gets us through suffering. This is the hope that gets us through discouragement. This is the hope that gets us through the death of a loved one. It's the hope of eternal life. Only Jesus Christ offers it. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. He is the only message that we have to proclaim. Paul understood this. He lived it. He breathed it. He preached it. First John 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as he is pure. You see the motivation to live a life of holiness set apart from God? It's the hope of eternal life, understanding that the life that we have in these bodies are so brief. God ransomed us from darkness, transferred us in the kingdom of light. The Word of God, the Holy Spirit, lives within us. And it motivates us to live for Him and not for ourselves. If you're here this morning and you are a believer in Christ, preach the gospel to yourself daily. Preach the gospel to yourself daily. Remind yourself, you were in bondage to sin. You were a slave to sin. You were hell bound. But Jesus Christ gloriously saved you. You are in Him, all because of Him. That should motivate you to live for Him. The hope of eternal life gives encouragement not only to live a life of holiness, but to endure suffering. I'm going to read to you Philippians 3. I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture this morning. Philippians 3, I'm going to read 8 and then verses 10 and 11. The words of Paul, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection and may share His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. And Paul also says in Romans 8:18, I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Preach the gospel to yourself. In times of suffering, in times of rejoicing, if you're saved, you have this eternal hope. It's a guaranteed hope. You have a guaranteed inheritance, a guaranteed reservation for you in glory. Preach that to yourself. When you're discouraged, when you're rejoicing, when you're ministering to someone who needs to be consoled, whatever the situation, the answer is Jesus Christ, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What it does in our lives and what it will do in the future. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in His Word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior. Our God is the God of truth. He's the Father of truth. Satan is the father of lies. God can't lie. It's against who He is. He's completely holy. Therefore, if God says it, we can count on it. If I said it, if these were my words, they would mean nothing. But the fact that this is the Word of God, it means everything. This is what the Word of God promises us. The hope of eternal life promised to all who believe. At the proper time manifested in His Word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. So this hope of eternal life, it was promised in verse 2 before the ages began. The plan of salvation was put into place before God created this universe, before He created Adam and Eve and everyone else who followed. The plan of salvation was put into place. It was manifested at the right time. And now Paul reveals it through preaching that word initially to these readers, and now it speaks to our hearts. Preaching means to proclaim truth. To proclaim truth. All of us have been entrusted with God's Word. We continually need to make sure when we are teaching others, whether it's in Sunday school, you're teaching a coworker, that what you have to say is in accordance with the Word of God. Because it's so easy just to get off the path just a little bit, to not even necessarily purposely, but just to introduce a little bit of error. We always got to make sure that we are teaching the truth, because we've been entrusted with it. And then to close, verse 4. To Titus, my true child in a common faith. Apparently, Titus was converted under Paul's ministry. We see his name mentioned several times. I believe in 2 Corinthians, his name was mentioned about 9 times. And now he's entrusted as the pastor on the island of Crete. And Paul is writing him, praying for him. And he concludes in verse 4, grace and peace. Grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace is the wondrous gift of God that brings salvation. And peace is the wondrous blessing that He bestows upon everyone who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. If you are here this morning and you never asked Jesus Christ to save you, you never put your faith in Him, you don't have that peace that passes all understanding. You don't have that peace with God. But the moment someone puts their faith in Christ, they make peace with God. They are reconciled to Him. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Old and New Testament, we've always been saved the same way, by grace through faith. Not saved by works. We can't earn it. We certainly do not deserve it. God is the one who provided the way for us to be saved. This is why Jesus left heaven, took upon human flesh, and then ultimately He went to a cross and He laid out His life so that we could be saved. He suffered, He bled, and then He died. He and He alone is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. He took your sin, He took my sin, He took the sins of the world upon Himself. Substitutionary atonement of Christ. He took our place. He is the propitiation for our sin. And now He invites anyone to come to Him for forgiveness of sin. And the only way to access His grace, to access eternal life, to be able to go to heaven is through faith. It's through faith. Believing the record of God's one only Son. He died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again from the dead. To be saved, we repent of our sin. We repent. We change our mind. We repent of our rebellion against God. And then we put our faith in Jesus Christ. That's how one's saved. So if you've never asked Jesus Christ to save you, right where you sit, this is between you and God, you can cry out to Him from a repentant heart, Father, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, that He took upon my sin, and that He rose again from the dead. And I ask Him, I plead Him for Him to save me, to forgive me my sin. May you cry out to Him today. Cry out to Him today from a repentant heart and be gloriously saved. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for the gospel of Jesus Christ, how You've entrusted to us the precious word of God. We thank You for the hope of eternal life. Thank You for the promise of a glorified body without sin. We thank You for the promise of being in Your presence forever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. I have a verse of invitation. Next week is Friend Day. Maybe you want to come forward and pray for someone you're going to invite to Friend Day next week. You want to be praying for that individual, that family. You want to be praying for yourself to have the right words and the boldness to invite them. It's a wonderful opportunity to invite someone next week. Hey, we're having a Friend Day at my church. We're having this wonderful meal afterwards. Would you be my friend? Would you join me and my family next week? Maybe you're going through a hard time at work or in your family, whatever the need is. That's what the invitation's for. Come before God.
Draw me close to you.
Seated, Pastor John.